Okay, Tom, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Yevamot, on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, and we are at the second half of Mishnah Bet. Chaltza b'layla chilitzata k'shira, Rabbi Elazar posel, b'smol chilitzata p'sula, Rabbi Elazar machshir. So, somewhat symmetrically, we have two different circumstances of less than ideal chalitza. In each case, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim disagree about whether or not post facto, b'diavad, it's kasher. The first one is if chalitza takes place at night, then Chachamim say it's kasher, Rabbi Elazar disagrees. And if chalitza is done from a left foot, then Chachamim say it's invalid, Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says it is valid. So now let's take a look at the first half, chaltza b'layla. Lema b'hakami palgi. Let us suggest that perhaps this is the disagreement between them. Mar savar makshinan rivim l'negayim, mar savar lo makshinan rivim l'negayim. Riv is a general word which means disagreement or court case, and the notion is that that when it comes to the kohanim, v'al pihem yehiya kol riv v'chol naga, that the Kohanim Halevi'im will be the ones to rule in the case of any Riv, which is any sort of court case, and the case of Negaim, of Tzarat. And we all know that Negaim have to be seen by day, B'yom Heira'ud Bo, and therefore, we could argue that Chachamim say we do not compare Riv to Naga, and therefore, as a result, if you do a case of Chalitza or any other court case at night, it's valid. So Belazar says that Riv and Negaim are juxtaposed, and therefore that's significant, and therefore just like a Nega cannot be seen by night, so any court case cannot happen by night, and Chachamim disagree. So no, that we can't accept. Because everybody agrees that a court case cannot begin at night. Because after all, if we were to say that Rivim and Negaim really are juxtaposed and that's significant, and just like Negaim cannot be seen at night, so no Riv can take place at night, then even Gemar Din cannot happen at night, meaning if the court has convened during the day and they continue the deliberations into the night and finally come to a conclusion at night, that would be invalid. And we all know that that's valid. Gemar din balayla is okay. V'hacha b'hakmi palgi. This is the disagreement. Mar savar chalitza kitchilat din damya. So, Rabbi Elazar says that chalitza should be considered like the beginning of a court case. And therefore, just like, meaning the process of chalitza, which takes a couple of seconds, or a minute or so, should be considered like tchilat din. And just like tchilat din cannot take place at night, so chalitza. Mar savar chalitza ki gemar din damya. And Chachamim say, no, Chalitza is like Gemar Din, because it is prefigured by the death, and then by the Chachamim, that is the Zakenim, speaking to the guy and making a decision about what to do, and Chalitza is the end of the process. Now, you could look at Chalitza as Tchilat Din, because really, formally, nothing takes place before. On the other hand, you could look at Chalitza as Gemar Din, because formally, nothing takes place afterwards. Once Chalitza happens, her status has been finalized as Zika being removed. Good. So now Rava Barchia Katosfa, he was from that town. Avat Uvda Bemok. So he did Chalitza once using a fabric shoe. Uvi Yechidi, he did it alone. Uvalayla, meaning he was a sole member of the Beit Din. He alone had a Yavam and a Shomeret Yavam come before him. He had her take off his fabric shoe as Chalitza, and he did it at night. Good. So now, Amar Shmuel, Kama Rav Guvrei David Ki Yechidah. Shmuel said, sarcastically, look at the great things that he is doing, like an isolated opinion. And he's making fun of the fact that he did it Bi Yechidi, he did it alone, following a lone opinion. So now let's see. My Kasha, what was bothering Shmuel? Imok Stamatanya. If it's because he used a fabric shoe, we have a Braita that's unattributed, that says that a fabric shoe is okay. Right? The Braita that we saw earlier that includes Mok. Elila Stamatanya. Alright, and our Mishnah also justifies doing it at night, or at least B'diavad night is valid. So why is Shmuel so upset? After all, Rabba Bar Katusfa, Marchia Bar Katusfa, in as far as the fabric goes and as far as doing it at night time goes, was following what seems to be a consensus opinion that it's valid. So the answer is Eli Yechidi Kakashale. Well, Shmuel was bothered by the fact that Rabba did this din as a beitin of one. Hechi Avid B'Yechidi, how can he do it alone? The Yechidah Ktanada, there's a play on words here. How could he do it alone when, after all, that is an isolated opinion which has been rejected, as we'll see. Did none. In the next Mishnah, the Mishnah down the line, let's say that a woman did chalitza in front of two or three members of the Beit Din, and one of them turned out was invalidated, one was a relative or an invalid member of the Beit Din, chalitza tapsula. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, Sandlar Machshim, they allow it, even if there's only one left who's good. We'll have to see how this plays out, but the Mishnah says that there's a story about a guy who was in prison, and he was imprisoned with his Shomeret Yavam, and he gave a chalitza alone. Notice he was the only one there. Rabbi Kiva said even that was valid. But we rejected that presentation, and we said you do need a proper Beit Din, which means Rav Bar Kochai Bar Chia Katusfa was going against convention by doing it alone. It could be that that entire story is all one singular presentation. Netanya, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, Ani Ra'itit Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha, Shechalatz V'mok B'Yechidi V'Alayla. That it wasn't just based on the story of Rabbi Kiva, but it was actually the report of an individual, and that's why Shmuel said, ooh, big shot, he's following an isolated opinion. He was quoting Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, or relying on Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, when a braita is reported as saying, I myself saw Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha that performed a chalitza as a man, as a beitin of one, which means the yechidah is either Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who is reported to have done it, or Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, who is the singular person who reports it. Good. Well, we'll see how it plays out. The other machloket in our Mishnah was about bismol, and I said we'll see how it plays out because that Mishnah will be quoted later. Chalitzata, we have the machloket. Chachamim say it's pasul. And Rabbi Lazar is machshir. My tamid Rabbanon, why did the Rabbanon say it's pasul? Amar ula yalfinan regel mimetzora. In our pasuk it says v'chatzan na'alo mi'al raglo, and in the purification of mitzora it says that he will put the dam hasham al tnuch ozno hayimanit v'albon raglo yador manit v'albon raglo hayimanit. Now there it's specifically the right foot raglo hayimanit. Malon diamin afkan diamin. And so the Gzereshav of Regel says, just like the Regel in Mitzora is explicitly the right Regel, the same thing is in the case of Chalitza, has to be the right foot. Rabbi Lazar, lo yali fregel regel in Mitzora, what? Rabbi Lazar doesn't accept that Gzereshav? Famously, Rabbi Lazar accepts that Gzereshav as far as the ear goes. Tan Rabbi Lazar, Mary Nine, the Ritzia, Shehime Ozin Yemenit, this is again Kiddushin, but how do we know that when you do Ritziah on an Eved Ivri who says, I want to stay with my master and stay till the Yovel, that we do it through the right ear. Nemarkan Ozen, in the Parsha of Mitzora it says, V'natata v'ozno uvadelet. Nemar lahalan Ozen, in the case of Mitzora it says, Ozno hayimanit. Malan yamin afkan yamin. Just like the Ozen in a Mitzora is explicitly the right ear, similarly the ear here for Ritziah is the right ear. So we see that Rabbi Lazar is very comfortable using the right of the Mitzora as a model for other things that use the same part of the body. So the answer is, So he says, you're right, and indeed our Mishnah should be backwards. And Rabbi Lazar should be the one who invalidates the left one, Chachamim should be the one who machshir, which, by the way, symmetrically makes the Mishnah more comfortable, because in each case, Chachamim are machshir b'diavad, and Rabbi Lazar is posel b'diavad. Rav Amar Le'olam Lo Tefuch, but we'd rather stick with the transmission we have. Rav says we don't have to translate to invert it. And Ozen Ozen Mufni, the answer is as follows. Remember that we've counted this many times. Whenever you have a Gzerah Shavah can be Mufneh, Lo Mufneh, or Mufneh Mitzad Echad. Mufneh means that the word being used for the Gzerah Shavah is totally superfluous, and therefore seems to be there for purposes of the Gzerah Shavah. So we have the following rule. Generally, if a Gzerah Shavah is not Mufneh, you can challenge it by saying the two cases are thematically or contextually or characteristically dissimilar enough to break the Gzerah Shavah. If, on the other hand, the words are both superfluous, then the rule is L'medin v'ein Meshivin. You use it and you can't even challenge it. The thing is, Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that if it's Mufneh Mitzad Echad, meaning only one of the instances of the word is really superfluous, then L'medin, you can use the Gzeres Shava, but Umeshivin, you can also challenge the Gzeres Shava. And therefore we have as follows. Regel Regel, Ozen Ozen Mufni, both instances of Ozno Haymanit and Ozno Vadelet are superfluous. As opposed to Regel Regel Lo Mufni, because Regel in Mitzorah is superfluous, but Regel in Chalitza is not superfluous. So good. So let's say it's not Mufne. Then what's the challenge? How do you challenge the analogy between Mitzorah and Chalitza? Well, that's easy. The Mitzorah has, you could have made a long list, the Mitzorah has all sorts of requirements that don't exist by Chalitza. Three examples are having to do with the stuff that's brought, which is the piece of the cedar wood and the moss and the red string, and also other things that happen with the Mitzorah, the Korban and the Chleit, and also some other things about a Mitzorah that are brought as part of, even just within the context of the purification ceremony, that have nothing to do with Chalitza, and therefore we'd say, sure, there it has to be the right foot. It's all sorts of ritual things. That doesn't mean that here, where she's simply symbolically removing a shoe from his foot, that it has to be the right foot, and that would be the challenge. Okay, good. The next Mishnah, which is several Mishnayot, Chaltsav Rakakav Lo Kara, the first of these, which is Mishnah Gimel, focuses on what are the bottom line requirements of chalitza. There are three components to chalitza. One of them is chalitza, taking off the shoe. The other is rekika, which is the yavama spitting in the presence of the yavam, not in his face, but in his presence. And the third is several declarations which go ahead. One of them is that she comes and makes a declaration to the Beit Din before the chalitza, which is me'ein yavami la'akim l'achiv shem Yisrael lo avayabmi. He refuses to be miyabim me. And then the Beit Din calls him and says, Kacha yasele isha shalo yakim, sorry, she says, Kacha yasele isha shalo yakim peit achiv, and then the Beit Din has to declare chalutzanal. So those are all kriyas. So now, chaltsara kakava lo kara, if she did the chalitza and the spitting, but not the declaration, chalitza takshira, that's kasher. Karavara kakava lo chaltsa, let's say she did the reading, the declaration, and the spitting, but didn't take off his shoe, Chalitza tapsula, it's invalid. Chaltza v'kara v'alo rakaka, if she did the chalitza and the declaration, but not the spitting, Rabbi Elazar omer chalitza tapsula, Rabbi Elazar says insufficient. Rabbi Kiva omer chalitza takshira. By the way, every time we say chalitza psula, that doesn't mean that it's nothing. That means that that she is now no longer viable for Yibum, but she has to do another chalitza. In other words, she's also to the brothers, but she's not mutzah to the rest of the world until there's another chalitza done. So now, if chalitza and kriya are done, but not the spitting, Rabbi Elazar says it's pasul, Rabbi Akiva says it's kasher, and she can now marry someone else. Now, Amar le Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar challenged Rabbi Akiva, and by quoting the pasuk on the page, kacha yeyaseh la isha shel yaseh. Well, the word kacha, it's a sugya nyoma, the word kacha is always understood to be an ikuv, meaning that this is something that's indispensable. And this is what she says after she takes off his shoe and she spits, and then she says, Kacha yaseh la'ish. This is what happens to a man who won't keep his brother's name alive. So Rabbi Elazar says, Kol davar shum aseh me'akev. It says, Kacha yaseh. And therefore Rabbi Elazar says, I agree with you, Rabbi Akiva, that if she doesn't do the reading, it's not me'akev, because that's not an action, that's a reading. But any action, which is both the chalitza and the rekika, are me'akev. So Amar le Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva answered him, Misham ra'aya, that's not a proof. Kacha yeyaseh la'ish, look at the next word. This is what shall happen to a man, meaning kol davar shu ma'aseh be'ish. The only things that are ma'akev are things that are done on the man, which are taking off his shoe. The spitting is not done on the man. Spitting is done in his presence, in the presence of the Beit Din, l'ne'az kinim, but it's not a ma'aseh ba'ish. And therefore he says it's not ma'akev. Now, the next Mishnah, chereish shenechlatz, if somebody was a mute, and he is the one living brother, and she comes and takes off his shoe. V'chereshet shechaltzar, let's say the widow is a deaf mute, and she does chalitza. V'choletzet lekatan, or let's say that the one brother alive is below the age of our mitzvah, and the widow comes and takes the chalitza. Chalitza p'tachalitza tapsula, it's no good. Ketana shechaltzar, but now let's flip it over, and let's say that we have a ketana, meaning a girl was 9 years old, and she's the widow. And the man had no children. She does chalitza on an adult brother. Tachlot mishtagdil. She has to do chalitza again when she's an adult, which means this chalitza is meaningful, but she has to do another one. Vimlo chalitza chalitza tapsula. And if she never does do chalitza later on, then this chalitza is no good, which means this chalitza is sort of hanging. Okay, now the last of these mishnayot, chatsa v'shnayim or v'shlosha, we just had this a few minutes ago, if she did chalitza in the presence of two or three, v'nimtza achad mihen karuv pasul, and one of them was invalidated, chalitzata psula, it's invalid, shimer v'rav yochanan samlar machshirin, and then they quote, u'maseh v'achad shechalatz beino levinav beit asurim, we have a story that happened in prison, where there was a man and his shomeret yavam in seclusion, and he gave her chalitza, u'vamaseh v'rakiva v'yichshir. We'll see who was in prison in this story, but Rabbi Kiva ruled that such a chalitza was valid. Good. Okay, so now let's go back to the first of these Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel, in which we said everybody agrees that kriya, that the declaration, is not ma'akev, is not indispensable. If there's no kriya, it's still valid. So therefore, watch Rav. Amar Rav Hashad Amar Kriya Lamak. Rav said, since kriya is not Ma'akev means it's not indispensable. Lefichach ilayim v'ilemet shechaltzu. If you have a mute who is either the one having the shoe taken off or the woman who's taking the shoe off, chalitzatan ksherat. Then the chalitz is valid because after all, if the one thing that can be dispensed with and it's still valid is the kriya, and a mute, although the only thing they can't do is the kriya, they can't speak, therefore it's valid. Now, Tanan, let's see if that's really true. Look at the last Mishnah that we did. So we have a mute on either side of the equation. Isn't it because the deaf mute is not able to make the declaration, and nonetheless it's invalid? So we see that that somebody who cannot make the declaration is not candidate for chalitza. No, it's because a deaf mute is treated halachically like somebody who is non-compos mentis. And that's the problem. In other words, the kriya is not the issue. The problem is that a cheresh, as we say, is a cheresh she'eno medaber, is considered considered incompetent, and because incompetent, their chalitz is not meaningful. So yachi leim v'lemet nami. So if that's the case, maybe a regular mute is also incompetent. That's not true. Halachically, a mute, somebody who's only mute, is absolutely competent. They just got to have that, literally, their mouth hurts them, meaning they have a problem vocalizing, but they understand, and they can be just as bright as anybody else. Good. But that's disproven, because Rabbi Yanai said, that he explained the Mishnah, saying the reason that a cheresh and a chereshet are not viable candidates for chalitza is because they cannot declare what she has to declare, that he refuses to do to keep his brother's name alive, and this has to the guy has to declare lo chafatz l'kachta, I don't want to marry her, because they can't do it. That's why cheresh she'eino medaber is out of the parsha, and therefore it should be the same thing with an ilam and ilamet. Elki imar de Rava seifrit mar. Actually, Rava's statement was a comment on the last Mishnah. Cheresh nechlatz v'cheresh shechatza v'chaletz v'nakatan. Chalitzata psula, and a deaf mute is an invalid candidate. So Rava says, aha, I read like Rabbi Yanai that the reason that a cheresh is not a viable candidate is because kriya is indispensable. He said, therefore, a mute, and that's even though they're competent, a mute, because chalitza, it's invalid. And this all follows the reasoning that's later explicated by Rabbi Zeira. I'll explain this briefly. It's a very important principle that shows up several times in Shas. And its makor is in Masachet Menachot, where the Mishnah says that if somebody donates 60 isaron, 60 esronot of flour, they can bring them in one kli. The kli were of a standard size. 61 has to be brought in two kelim. And what's the reason? Because 61 cannot be mixed with the flour and the oil together well in one kli. 60 can be. It's a question just of how much room you have to put your hands into the kli and mix them. And the Gemara challenges this by saying, well, wait a second. Blila or bila, mixing the flour with the shemen, is not ma'akev. In other words, if you brought the shemen and the flour and they weren't mixed at all, they were just sitting there in one lump, it's still a valid korban. So why do we care that you have that it has to be in the amount of kelim in which it can be mixed properly? Mixing is not necessary. And there Rabbi Zera says that kol ha-ra'ui li-bila in bila ma'kevet po. If it's something where bila could happen, where mixing could happen, then the fact that you didn't mix is not ma'akev. But if it's something where mixing is impossible, then the fact that you didn't mix is ma'akev. And this is the principle of Rabbi Zera, known as the din of bila. That's sort of the shorthand form for it. And so the same thing here. If you have somebody who's able to speak, but they don't speak, and they don't say, lo chafatz to the kachta, and she doesn't say, me'in yivami, it's kosher. But if it's somebody who cannot speak, then the fact that they didn't say the words is ma'akev. Good. Now, shachul el avod Shmuel. We have a message that was sent to Shmuel's father, and we have two versions of it. So this is the first version. Yivamah shirakaka tachlotz. If Yivamah just spits, she then has to get chalitza. She's already invalidated from Yibum. Now, michlal de'ifsal alamiyachin. So obviously that means that she has been invalidated from the brothers. Money. Who could be the author of that? Let's see, the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar, right? In our Mishnah. Ilema Rabbi Akiva, if it's Rabbi Akiva, who said Rikika is not ma'akev. So watch the reasoning. Hashta uma b'mokam mitzvah. After all, in the case of chalitza, which is a mitzvah. The ikalamem ramidida havia aimurim, we could perhaps compare it to aimurim. Now, what's the story of the aimurim? Aimurim are the parts of the korban that go on the mizbeach. Let's say that a person shechted a korban, a coin did the zrikat adam, and subsequent to zrikat adam, all the parts that were supposed to go on the mizbeach got burned up or got disappeared or in some way got lost. Right? And the halacha is that you could still eat the meat that's to be the necholim, the stuff that's allowed to be eaten. Now, we say, if the emurim are not there, their absence is not ma'akev, but let's say that the emurim are there. You're not allowed to eat the meat until the emurim are brought on the mizbeach. And if they're nitma, for instance, you can't eat the meat. But if the emurim disappear, you may eat it. That's the halacha. So now, how much more so in a case here of the mitzvah, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Elo Ma'akva, Rabbi Kiva said that Rikika is not Ma'akev. So Rabbi Kiva said that if you didn't do spitting, it's not Ma'akev. So how can you say that if you did spit, spitting is a significant enough act that it's going to already invalidate her as far as the brothers go, then how could you possibly say that spitting is considered to be not Ma'akev? So Rabbi Kiva could not be the author of a statement that said that if the woman does spit, then automatically she's invalidated. El or Rabbi Elazar, must be Rabbi Elazar. Aye, but even Rabbi Elazar would have a problem with this. Why? What you have is two things that together make the heter. For instance, in the case of a korban, you have the shechitat korban and the zrikat adam. And both of those things need to be done properly in order to be able to eat and be able to have the consequences play out. Now, obviously, you can't do zrika without shechita, but I'll explain what the significance is, because in the world of korbanot, the fact of shechita and the fact of zrika are not sufficient. You also need to have proper machshava. And that's an elaborate sukkah in Zvachim about the role of machshava in kodshim, but something we already touched upon when we studied both Yoma and Psachim. And so now, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that shnei dvarim matirim ein malin zebelozeh. If you have two components that are both needed in order to make something happen, that neither one of them alone is enough, right? Ella Karabi, who is the one who says that if you have two matirim, one of them may be enough to at least push things further along? It's Rebbe. Detanya, Kiv Seatzeret. Here's the deal. On Shavuot, there are two kvasim, Zivchei Shlamim, the two public Shlamim that ever brought, are brought on Shavuot, and they're brought with Shtei HaLechem. And the Lechem only becomes Kadosh after the Shechita and Zrika of the Korban. Now, if a Korban is brought Shelo Lishma, meaning that it's brought L'Shem some other Korban, or L'Shem some other purpose, or whatever it may be, then in most cases, the korban itself continues to go on the mizbeach, but it does not fulfill its purpose. So now, kivsei atzeret in mekadshin alechem ela b'shechita. That the kivsei atzeret are only mekadish to shtei alechem after the shechita. Ketzad, shchatan lishman lezorakta man lishman. Let's say that you did the shechita l'shem kivsei atzeret, and then you did the zrika l'shem kivsei atzeret, kidesh alechem. Then the bread that has been brought now has the din of kiddush of shtei alechem. Shachat shelo lishman mezorak lishman. Let's say you did the shechita for an ola, or for private shlamim, or whatever else, and then you did the zrika lishman. Lo kidei shalachem. Shachatam lishman mezorak taman shelo lishman. But if you did the shechita lishman, in other words, the first component was done properly, and then the zrika was done for some other purpose. Kadosh reino kadosh shiver Rabbi. Rabbi says it is partially kadosh. You do have shtei alechem here. They can't be eaten, but you do have shtei alechem. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon says you need both there in order to make the kadosh. So that means that Rebbe must be the author of the opinion that ended up coming to Shmuel's father, that said that if Yavama spits, she's already invalidated, because even though he must be following Rabbi Lazar's opinion that spitting is indispensable, and even though only one of the two components happened here, that's enough to make her already categorized as being invalid. So now, meaning of just like the lechem, which kadosh ve'no kadosh, good. Now, miyomar Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiko l'apostle, I'm parenthetic, let's go back. Rabbi Kiva said that, according to what we just said, that if a yevama spits, she's not pasul mit la'achin, she could still have yibum with them. V'atanya chaltza, velo rekaka, velo kara. Now we're going to see an expansion, or should we say an alternative version of our Mishnah, in which it takes, in our Mishnah, remember we always had if you did two but not one, what's the status? Now we're going to say, what if you did one and not two? So chaltza, velo rekaka, velo kara. Let's say she just did chalitza. Chalitza tak shera. Right? Chaltza, velo rekaka, velo kara. Chalitza tak shera. Well, that has to be Rabbi Kiva already. Rekaka v'lo chaltza v'lo kara, she just spit, chalitza p'tam psula. It's a pasul chalitza. Kara v'lo rekaka v'lo chaltza, if she only did the kriya, ain't kan bet mechush, there's nothing. Mani, who's the author? Elim Rabbi Lazar, can't be Rabbi Lazar, chaltza v'lo rekaka v'lo kara, she did chalitza but didn't spit, chalitza tak shera, v'yam Rabbi Lazar, kacha yaseh, the rashu ma'aseh me'akev. Rabbi Lazar famously said, anything which is a ma'aseh is ma'akev, including the spitting. El Pshita Rabbi Kiva, like I already pointed out, this bright has to be authored by Rabbi Kiva. Uktani Rakaka v'lo chaltza v'lo kara chalitza tapsula. And in the bright that said that if she spits but doesn't do the other two things, chalitza tapsula. What does that mean? Leman. Ilay mala oma, you're saying it's pasul, meaning she can't marry anybody else? Pshita, that's obvious. Miavi chalitza dishtar yila oma. Right, obvious it's not without the chalitza itself, without taking off the shoe, there's no heter. Alav lachin, it must be she's pasul lachin. Shma mina. So you see that Rabbi Akiva, who must be the author of this braita, says that if she just spits, she's already pasul lachin. Now, then the question comes, Rabbi Akiva, maishna rakiko, maishna kriya. So why is it Rabbi Akiva says if she spits, she's pasul lachin? And if on the other hand, all she does is do the kriya, then there's nothing, and she, if afterwards she could have yibum, would be fine. The answer is, kriya di'ita v'em netchila v'em misof. Kriya happens, even though it's not the same words, kriya happens at all sorts of stages here. It happens when she comes to the Beit Din, and it happens when they talk to him, and then it happens when she's spitting, and then it happens afterwards. Kriya, there's lots of kriyot that are going on. So now, lo michal falei. Therefore, if all he does is kriya, and then all she does is kriya, and then afterwards they change their mind, they have yibum, nobody's going to come and say, oh, after chalitza you could still do yibum, because they'll assume it's a kriya that was beforehand. Rekika de betchila leita of a sof ita, but rekika, which only happens typically at the end of the process, michal falei. If somebody sees that the yavama spits, now Rabbi Kiva, remember, says that the spitting theoretically really is nothing, and it's dispensable. And yet Rabbi Kiva says, but if somebody sees that the yavama spit, and then they see that the two of them get together, or she marries him or one of the other brothers, then they're going to be confused and think, oh, she did a proper chalitz, and afterwards they change their mind, and that's okay. And then they're going to permit somebody who got chalitza to marry one of the brothers, which, of course, is a terrible thing. That's version one of the message sent to Avu at Ishmael. The Ika Damri, some people have this version. This is the message. If a Yavama spits, then she has to give chalitza. And she does not need to spit again. Meaning, clearly everybody will agree, once she spits, she's already nifsal alachin, and she has to do proper chalitza. But the point being that the message they sent to Avud Shmuel was not so much that, because that seems to be obvious, but rather she does not need to spit a second time. This is a story about a woman who came to Rabbi Yami. Havayati Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal Kameh. Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal was sitting in front of him. Rakakame Kameh Tetachlut. And she spit before anything happened. Amar le Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Yami said, Chalotzla v'shari la tigra. And so he said to the man, he said to the woman, do chalitza on the man, and let's finish the business. Right? It'll be done. Rabbi Abba said, what do you mean take off the shoe? She starts to spit. And he answered, Harakagale, she already spit. V'tayukumabachach, let her spit a second time, who cares? Why are you insisting that she not spit again? The answer is, nothing, Rabbi Yami said, nothing menechurva, a terrible misunderstanding could come out of this, and a catastrophe. Why? Because if we say that afterwards she should spit again, people will then think that the first spitting is absolutely meaningless. And then what will happen is that if she spit the first time, and evidently we're ruling Rabbi Lazar that the spitting really is significant, in any case, even like Rabbi Kiva will say she's nifsala, people will think, oh, if we made her spit a second time, must mean the first spitting was not meaningful, and therefore if you have a case where a woman first spits and then they change their mind, they're going to say, oh, it's mutter because we saw a case where a woman spit and they made her spit again. The first spitting must have been meaningless. We have an order to things. First she comes to the Beit Din and makes her declaration. Then they talk to him and he makes his declaration. Then she comes to the Beit Din, she takes off his shoe, and then she spits, and then they all call Chalutz Anal. There's an order. The answer is Kasidra Lama Akva. The answer is the order is not indispensable. The order can be, things can be done out of that order. So Rabbi Amar Memel thought that Rabbi Yami was just sort of pushing him off and not being very serious about it when he said the order is not significant. Nafak tak v'yashkach, literally, he went out and looked carefully and found, which is a way of saying he researched it, the Tanya ben sheikdim chalitza v'kika ben sheikdim v'kika l'chalitza, whether the chalitza comes before the spitting or the spitting before the chalitza, masha asasui, it's all valid. You know, the order really, really is not significant. Chatchila is an order, but the avad, any order is fine. Now, Levi nafak l'karyata. Levi went out to the cities. This usually means that he went out as an agent of Rebbe to see what they needed in the cities. Ba'omine, and they asked him the following three questions. Gidemet, that's a woman without arms or without hands. Ma'ush tachlutz, can she do chalitza? You know, so she could do it with her teeth or with some other part of her body. Is that valid? Yivama shirakaka dam mahu. What if a yivama spits and blood comes out instead of spittle? Is that valid? And then they quoted this pasuk in Daniel, Avalagid l'cha tarashum mechtav emet. And Daniel has a vision, and he's told, I'll tell you what's written in truth. Yichal de'ika k'tav sheno emet, what the things that God presents that are not true, what does that mean? So l'avi yadeh, he didn't have answers to any of these three questions. Atashal Beit Midrash, he went to the Beit Midrash and asked him all three questions about the amputee doing chalitza, the woman spitting and having blood come out, and this weird pasuk. Amrule mikti v'nechaltza b'yad. So the answer they gave was, it doesn't say she has to take the shoe off with her hand. She has to take the shoe off. If she does with her teeth, that's fine. Mikti v'yarkar rokin. It doesn't say she spits spittle. It says she spits. Whatever comes out of her mouth is fine. Aval agid lecha asher mechtav emet. Whatever they do with that pasuk, v'chish mechtav sheino emet, it's a lo kasha. They answered, kan migzar din sheish imo shvua. Kan migzar din sheino imo shvua. What they mean by emet here is not that it's true or not true, but rather that it is permanent and irrevocable. If it's a decree that is accompanied by a divine oath, then it's irrevocable. If, on the other hand, it's a decree which is not accompanied by a divine oath, then it could be revoked, it could be changed. Following the teaching, how do we know that if there's a gzar din that comes with an oath, that it can never be changed? Shemar, pasuk in Shmuel, in Shmuel's first nevuah, when Hashem says to him about the destruction of Beit Eli, "Lachein nishbati leBeit Eli mitkaper avon Beit Eli v'zevach minchar olam." I have taken an oath that the house of Eli will never have proper atonement for what they've done, for the chilul hakodesh and making people hate coming to Shiloh, with korbanot forever. Now, parenthetically, I'm a rabba, and this is important because rabba is a descendant of Eli. You're right, but let's look at the pasuk carefully. Hashem says they will achieve no atonement through korbanot, but through learning of Torah, that you could have some sort of a atonement. Abaya Amar b'zachu minchayinu mitkaper, he added the following, kaper b'gmilut chasadim, or the other gears is b'torah b'gmilut chasadim. Right, that Abaya says that you're right, that korban, you cannot achieve kapara through korbanot, but you can achieve kapara through Gemilut Chasadim. Now, Rabba Abaye made a Beit Eli Ka'atus. Another Gemara points out that they were both descendants of Eli. Abaye, of course, both Kohanim. Abaye being Rabba's nephew and ward. Rabba de Asak Batorah Chaya Arbain Shnin. Rabba studied Torah, and that was his focus. He lived 40 years, which is longer than many of the Beit Eli, as we'll see in a minute, lived. Abaye de Asak Batara Uvig Mud Chasadim Chayashitin Shnin. Abaye was involved both in Torah and in Chesed, lived 60 years.
Tanu Rabbanan, Mishpacha Achat, Atav Yishalayim, Shayim, 18, Kiven, 18 Shana. There's a family in Yishalayim where the men all died at 18. Bova did Rechom Zakai, so they told Rechom Zakai, which means this is before the Churban. Amar Lam Shem Mishpachat Eli Atem. She said, maybe you guys are Kohanim descended from Eli, Shenemar, from Abi Petcha Yemut Anashim. When the curse given through the Isha Elohim to Eli says, most of your household will die as men, meaning they won't die as old people, but they'll die as men. The idea here is that the minute they reach manhood, at 18, they die. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, go, study Torah, and you'll live. And that's exactly what happened. They used to call this family the Yochanan family in honor of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Now, Arshua Bar Unya Amarav, Minayim Gzardin, going back to the issue of the Pasuk in Daniel, and a Gzardin against Am Yisrael, Shel Tzibur Shirin Echtam, how do we know that a Gzardin against the community is not finally sealed, meaning it can be changed? Einon Echtam, what do you mean? Aktivim Tchabsi Ba'netu V'tabila Achborit Nechtam Avonech Lefonai. Yirmiyahu, in using the mashal from laundry, says that even if you try to clean it with lye and use lots of soap, your sin is stained before me forever. In other words, it's sealed. No, the lesson isn't that it's not sealed. It's sealed, but even though it's sealed, it can be torn. Shemar, the following problem. One pasuk says, who is like Hashem, who's there every time we call to him? And we have another pasuk that says, seek God out when he's found, meaning he's not always found. You got to pick the right time. And how did we resolve it? By saying, the first pasuk is talking about the tzibur. When the tzibur calls out, Hashem is always there to answer, and any gzardin can be torn up. The yachid, you have to find the right time. Yachid emat, when is that? During the 10 days between Rosh Kippur, God makes himself found and accessible, and that's, of course, why we have lots and lots of slichot and bakashot during that time. So now, a second message that went to Avuah Shmuel about Yibum. If Yavama spits and blood comes out, then she has to still do chalitza, meaning it is meaningful. But now, not for the same reason that they answered to Levi. To Levi, they seem to say that it doesn't matter what comes out of her mouth, it's still 100% valid. Here, the insistence is it be spittle. Because it's impossible to spit out blood and not have some spittle in it. We have a challenge to that. I might think that if a zav has blood coming out of his mouth, or blood coming out of his penis, that he's tamei, that blood is tamei, tamud lomar zovo tamei. Therefore, the pasuk says that his zov, meaning his that emission, is tamei. But the dam is regular dam; it's tahor. So you see that when blood comes out of the body, it comes out as pure blood, and it doesn't come out mixed with whatever else is there. So lokasha kan motzeset kan mishotet. That's the difference. If she spits and blood comes out, so spittle's going to be mixed with it. If, on the other hand, there's a wound and she's bleeding, then there's no reason to think that anything else is mixed up with that. The same thing with the zav. If the zav has blood coming out of his mouth or out of some other part, it's pure blood. If, on the other hand, somebody spits, we assume that spittle is mixed in with it, and that's why the Yavama, in that case, would have to complete the chalitza, because the spitting now has already been done. So we should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem at the very bottom of the Amud, at Cherish and Echlatz, and finish through to Kuf Vav Amud Aleph.